Mike Culligan joins us once again from Pittsburgh, from HockeyWriters.com. Mike, how are you?
I'm doing pretty well, Jason. Thanks for having me.
Mike, I appreciate you coming on. The Penguins, it was a few years ago when somebody became the first associate head coach, and now it's just like a new title, so you get paid a little bit more than the assistant. It allows you to move from organization to organization. And, you know, Jason Botterill, good Edmonton guy. We've had him on the show many times. What was it that he wasn't ready to get the GM job just yet? Obviously, they like him because they promoted him, but they didn't promote him to the top dog. How come?
Yeah, it's a pretty good question, and one that I don't think we really have answers for yet. You know, I've heard Botterill's a little confused himself as far as what his role is going forward. And you mentioned there seems to be a lot of cooks in the kitchen now under new GM Jim Rutherford, and you wonder where that goes. And if those roles aren't defined, it's going to take a couple weeks. But obviously, we're in a critical situation right now with the draft coming up, as you mentioned, and free agency shortly thereafter. I think if the one thing Botterill didn't have that maybe Rutherford did have, it was certainly experience. At 65 years of age, Rutherford comes in with a couple decades of Carolina Hurricanes work on his resume, and perhaps the Penguins look at that as a valuable asset for Jason Botterill to maybe take that next step, and within a couple years, two or three, as Rutherford mentioned, then be able to pass the torch permanently.
Rutherford comes in. What changes? Is he going to make any significant changes? We've heard so many rumors. Like, I don't believe the Jenny Malkin one for a second. But, you know, we've heard rumors that Pittsburgh's got to change some things. Being a former goaltender, do you think he changes his goaltending? Or did Marc-Andre Fleury's playoffs give him a little bit more time in Pittsburgh?
I wouldn't be surprised if they made a move at that goaltending position. Just because, you know, a goalie like Fleury, he's very athletic. Only has 1 year left on his contract, and at age 29, you start to wonder what happens after that next year. Do the Penguins really feel comfortable giving him another long-term contract when they really haven't found out if he is that long-term answer in net, at least when you're talking about a team that's expected to win Stanley Cups or at least come very close on a yearly basis? So I think if they're going to make a decision and move on from him, certainly the time to do it is maybe with a year left, when you can either deal a player like that for a return or just have the flexibility to go in a different direction. They made a couple different draft picks in the last few years that I think set them up well long-term, but they'd need a shorter-term asset, I think, at least in the form of a trade or perhaps even on the free agent market if they decide to move away from Fleury.
When you look at, you know, the Penguins' overall team, you know, I was surprised last year at the trade deadline they didn't get Alex Hemsky. I thought he was a perfect fit for them, a guy with incredible speed that would help their top six, because I don't know if they have enough speed overall in their top six. Has that been addressed? Is that something the organization looks at, trying to get some speed guys? Because, you know, Sidney Crosby, to put up all those points he did with Kunitz and Dupuis is great, but you imagine how much he'd put up if he had, another speedster on that other side with some ability.
Well, that's right. And, you know, I think the Penguins actually were very close on Alex Hemsky, and I heard there was perhaps some disagreement in the front office as far as whether they went after a guy like that or Marcel Gauck, who they got for a very similar trade asset price when it came down to that deadline time. But I agree, if you're going to build a team around Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin and the speed of guys like that, that has to be your identity. And I think that's one thing that this Penguins team hasn't had since it won the Stanley Cup in 2009. Is really an identity of what they are. They had a speedy team, I think, 2 years ago, but they went out at the trade deadline and acquired Jerome Iginla and Brendan Morrow and Douglas Murray, three guys that are certainly not known as fleet of foot. And I think they became a team that wasn't big, and they didn't have above-average speed anymore. So that without that identity, without that factor that allows them to intimidate opponents, it makes it tough, especially when you get into some of these long playoff series, when you don't really have your go-to calling card as a roster and as a franchise.
Mike Culligan joins us talking Pittsburgh Penguins. Mike, do you see outside of goaltending, like, do you see them making a significant splash? Like, is Chris Letang really a guy they'd contemplate moving?
I don't think so, but his name just continues to come up, and I think that was a trade that they looked around at and certainly considered last year before signing him to that long-term extension that he will start this season, 8 years, and certainly a long-term risk now with Chris Letang's health situation, the stroke that he had this past season. There's a lot of questions there, and it makes you wonder, you know, what his asset and trade value would be if you pursue to trade. I don't think that's the move, but one question they have is what they do with their other defensemen. Matt Niskanen, a guy that has really come into his own in the Pittsburgh uniform, has become, I think, probably one of the top free agent assets this offseason. He's going to get paid, you know, probably upwards of $6 million on a long-term deal, and I don't know that he's worth that, but the problem is the Penguins don't have a lot as far as NHL-ready defensemen. They've got Paul Martin on a 1 year left at $5 million, a guy that's played big minutes for them. They've got to make a decision as far as what this team looks like, because they've got younger players on the way, but they're not quite ready yet, especially for a team that certainly doesn't want to take another step back next season under the new general manager.
How much pressure is there in Pittsburgh? You know, and how much say does Mary Lemieux have on the day-to-day operations?
Lemieux, I get the sense, is more active now on a day-to-day basis than he has been in recent years. He was a guy that certainly shunned the spotlight, but really just did not want to get involved in the day-to-day operations, did not want to become bigger than the team. He wanted to turn that over to guys like Sidney Crosby and make it their group and their team and really not get involved unless he was needed. But I sensed he was involved and active a lot more this season, and I don't know that the ownership group is all on the same page there, because you hear a lot of mixed messages coming out of that group, even when they were searching for a new general manager. But I think that's the question, is there's certainly a ton of pressure on this team when ownership comes out and says the second round of the playoffs and third round 2 years ago was not good enough. They expect Stanley Cups, and certainly wasn't lip service when it came time to name a new general manager. They moved on. And I wouldn't be surprised if we see some additional moves there and changes as well as this team tries to make that final step towards another cup.
When you look within the organization, who do you see as guys that are ready to make the step to the big league next year?
It really starts in the back end with Olli Maatta, who came in as a 19-year-old, kind of unexpected and wasn't the style under Ray Shiro. Usually they kind of had the Detroit Red Wings approach of leaving guys in the minor leagues for longer than expected to allow them to fully develop before bringing them up. Maatta was a pleasant surprise as a guy they threw into the lineup, and he excelled as a 19-year-old, underwent shoulder surgery, so he'll be out 3 to 4 months. But I think he'll make up what I think will be one of the best young pairs in the NHL next year when you look at Derek Pouliot as well, which I'm sure you guys know pretty well from that side of the country. A guy that is junior defenseman of the year, certainly has a ton of offensive talent, and I think could really turn into a nice offensive defenseman. Unfortunately, he also underwent shoulder surgery. So, again, they have that short-term issue to deal with, where if these younger guys are not healthy and ready to go physically, that's a risk for this team, especially they can't afford to get off to a slow start. And you're talking about a new general manager, likely a new head coach, obviously, coming in with Dan Bylsma being fired the other day as well. So it's a lot of changes, and you just wonder how that all shakes out when you try to put a team on the ice in September.
What about former first-round pick, granted he was the 30th overall pick, Simone Dupre? Where's he in the organizational depth chart?
He's really been, I would say, in between. He's been a guy that has, that was a big lightning rod for criticism of Ray Shiro and even head coach Dan Bylsma, is that Dupre, although I don't think he really ever earned an NHL spot, some of the fan base was frustrated that he never got that opportunity, and he would get two or three games and then be shuttled back to the minor leagues. And you know how that can be as a younger player when you're only getting maybe 10 or 12 minutes a night. You know it's going to be a short-term appearance, and you grip the stick a little bit tighter and can play nervous. And I think that's perhaps what played into the phrase NHL struggles. But I think he's got a guy that when he goes back to that American League, he does very well. He's consistent. He really shows that he can contribute on the power play and on the penalty kill. So he's another name that you start to look at and you wonder, can he make that jump? Or he one of those guys that is a nice defenseman at the American League, but just isn't ready for NHL hockey yet. His name did come up also in the Ryan Kessler rumors around the trade deadline, and I heard that the Canucks were interested in him and have scouted him quite a bit. So you wonder if the Penguins are looking the trade route as well. Maybe there's another team that's willing to give Dupre an opportunity that he hasn't gotten so far in Pittsburgh.
And another big-name defenseman they got a lot of depth in the blue line. Scott Harrington, who, of course, has now spent You know, his first full season in the American League last year, played in the playoffs for, I think, 16 or 20 games. Is he a guy who just needs more seasoning at this point?
More seasoning, but I hear great things about him as far as what the Penguins management feels is his upside as a really solid two-way defenseman. He's not going to be flashy. He's not going to be a guy that, you know, fans around the league are aware of, like a Pouliot might be, that's really going to put up points or contribute on the power play. Harrington's just going to be a great two-way defenseman, and you see so many teams in the league. You look at the Los Angeles Kings that they have Drew Doughty, who gets all the attention, but it's really that full back end that allows them to have so much success in the playoffs this year, and I think that's where management has really spoken highly of Scott Harrington and what he's capable of. I think just getting him that extra experience in the American League allows him to get a little bit more comfortable, and you don't take that risk of throwing a defenseman in a little bit too early, because we've seen what happens when you rush defensemen at a young age. Once the confidence is gone, skills oftentimes don't matter. It's very tough to repair some shattered confidence on a young defenseman because your mistakes are so exposed. They often end up in the back of your net.
Mike, I appreciate it. And finally, I was reading all sorts of stories on Pierre Maguire. Obviously, he was in the running for Pittsburgh. That supposedly he wanted 5 years. They weren't ready to go five and wanted three. Is that what you're hearing? Did they give any insight as to why he ultimately wasn't their final selection?
That's what I heard as well. It was over the timing of the contract, and I think you can't blame a guy like Pierre Maguire that's got a pretty nice situation and obviously looking for a long-term solution. Giving him a 2 or 3 year deal is not going to work for a guy like that who has a pretty nice spot right now. But I think just in general that maybe frames this Penguins situation as far from over. This is the succession plan is in place for a guy like Boswell, but if this team doesn't win, I wouldn't be surprised they go a different direction and perhaps try to make a pretty big splash, whether that's the head coach position for a guy like Mike Babcock or still trying to get a super agent like Pat Brisson to step into that GM chair. I don't think the Penguins are done, and they're a team that's not willing to spare a dollar. They'll do what they need to do in order to bring in the best to have success on the ice.
Mike, as always, appreciate your time. We'll talk to you before the draft.
All right, Jason. Thanks.